everybody. I feel like we all needed to wake up a little bit there. It's a Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian, and we are waking up here in the southern swath of Wisconsin, in Madison and Waukesha. In Waukesha on 540 AM as well as 101 FM, the Shaw. In Madison, 1580 AM as well as 92.7 FM, Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app. Anywhere you go, you have to choose Waukesha or Madison. It doesn't matter. You're going to listen to the same content anyway. It just depends on where you are.
Just depends who you like more. If you like Brian more, if you like me more.
It's what it comes down to. It's completely personal, and we will take it such. So,
absolutely.
Either way, one of us is going to be crying in the corner. And if I know both of us, we're probably going to both cry in the corner. That's just the kind of people we are. One of us will cry with, nobody likes me. And the other one will cry feeling bad for the other person that nobody likes.
Exactly.
And that'll be you. So that'll be the important thing. So moving on, we'll be...
what a great side tangent to start this segment.
It's great. Well, I just want to, destroy you mentally and ruin your mental health, because I know that you're on edge and it's really good to mess with you. That's the important thing, right? That's how you help people, by testing their boundaries and pushing them to the edge so that they can build character. Think of all the character you're building by me making fun of you, right? Is that how it works?
I don't even know how to respond.
What if I just yell at you the whole, let's say you do have like a huge like mental issue or breakdown or something like that, and you start throwing things in the studio? What if I just started yelling back at you and then tried to confine you in a really small space? Do you think that would really help?
I would say that studies for de-escalation would say that that is not the best way to handle that situation, Brian.
Huh. All right. Huh. Cool. Well, luckily, I'm not going to do that. You're not losing your mind. And we have people in Madison to call instead of me and or people that are better trained than me.
Because as we touched on in yesterday's show, Brian, the silly season here in Wisconsin is an interesting time of the year. And it's kind of dreary out today, so it's easy to, like you said, curl up in a ball and kind of just go into hibernation mode.
Yep.
What I like to do is I like to find the stories of what's out there that's working. And the Madison City Council last night decided that the pilot program for CARES, or the Community Alternative Response, Community Alternative Response for Emergency Services. See, the four threw me off. I always hate when there's those little words in there that don't get actually picked up in the acronym.
Yeah.
But the CARES pilot program, which
the CARFIS. The CARFIS.
Well, obviously the F shouldn't be in there, but
no, it's the CARFIS program. All right. Sounds good. CARFIS program.
That program, CARES, is being expanded to citywide here in the city of Madison. So the Community Alternative Response for Emergency Services is...
Yeah, CARFIS.
No, people are going to get the name wrong then. It's CARES. I'm just silly.
They might get the name right if they remember. CARFIS is stupid, but I remember CARFIS. Call CARFIS for me.
Jeez. But this is the pilot program set up last fall, Brian. In the calls to... it's not a nuanced phrase, but calls were made here in Madison and cities around the country to defund the police, not have the police respond to every single situation, because maybe the police aren't the best trained or equipped to de-escalate or handle some situations that get called to 911.
Yeah.
Because a 911 dispatcher...
And that's not to disparage the police. The police are trained in police work, not necessarily mental health
facilitation. Like I said, this is a nuanced conversation, and when you try to sum it up to a bumper sticker, you've got people on the left and the right that have all the criticism for that phrase, defund the police. But one of the things that say that whole slogan could encompass is... taking some of the responsibilities off of police departments' shoulders, and handling mental health instances is one of those. Because we have the evidence here in Madison now that is the case, Brian. The CARES pilot program, since September, has responded to nearly 250 calls for individuals that are experiencing a mental health crisis. And of those almost 250 calls... only 5 of them have actually required the team to call in police presence to assist with the crisis. So rather than have a police officer who just doesn't have the time or the training to handle the de-escalation, because there
it's sending a hammer in when you need it, a little chisel, you know,
or a completely different tool. Need a different tool to handle the situation, and rather than send in police officers, the CARES program sends in a paramedic and a healthcare professional, and between those response teams, they've been able to de-escalate the instances of these calls and not involve the police in 95% of the interactions that they've had since last September. So it's been a very, very successful pilot program, and the city is adding a CARES response team on this summer and expanding the program citywide.
So wait, let me get this straight. So they have this idea to change something and try to make it better, and then they tried it out, and then it worked. And then they took the information that it worked, and then they said, let's do that more.
Yep.
That sounds like functioning government to me.
That sounds absolutely like functioning government.
That sounds like functioning government. Because again, if they just did this like citywide, like widespread immediately, you're opening yourself up to a whole bunch of unforeseen problems. You know, but, you know, doing a small thing. One district, okay, one team, we can work on this, look at the new, because this is a nuanced program, this is a nuanced situation.
Yeah.
But having a 250 cases, that's a nice sample size. I don't like that there's that many cases. I mean,
well, there was even more cases, Brian, but there was 250 calls that the CARES response team got to be able to go out and respond to. So there were even a number of calls that would have fallen under their purview, but because it's a pilot program, they weren't able to respond to all of the calls. So police officers still had to, in some instances where this pilot program was going on, respond to those calls. But of the calls that the CARES response team was dispatched for, they had an overwhelming success of de-escalating the situations and getting the help to the people in crisis, rather than having any of these cases. Almost, I believe 246 of them was the total, and so 241 of them were resolved without police presence.
Now keep in mind, this isn't like a black and white issue where, let's say, if the police responded to all 250, they'd all be horrible. I mean, I'm sure that the police could de-escalate those situations as well, but the actual result of the situation is probably different, because the CARES team is there to try and figure out, okay, what can we do for the future? Maybe we can offer alternatives and give you more resources and stuff, mm-hmm. where police are generally like, all right, everybody quiet. Sounds good. We'll see you later. You know, or I got to fill out a report that will never really... that will go actually, you fill out a report and it goes against the person who been called on, who needs help, rather than more reports and marks against them. Because next time someone comes to them, they'll see, oh, we have all these reports of violent behavior. Well, is the violent behavior, you know, they were slapping because they were out of control? Or is it like, you know, they get a gun and a bat and they just went after people? There's different ways of doing things. My point is that I think they can find and get more nuance, like you say, and more specific care and continuing care with a CARES response team, rather than the police, whose job is generally to keep the peace and to make sure that the rest of the public is safe. Whereas I think the CARES team is more centered on the individual in relation to the public.
Yeah. And so I'm just delighted to see that we had a pilot program that was, hey, this is a suggestion. This is something we could take off the police officer's plate, and this is something that we could respond with other types of professionals, mental health professionals and paramedics. And the fact that this program is seeing the success that it is, I'm thrilled that it's going to be going citywide, and I hope that it continues to expand. I hope this is something that the city of Madison can continue to give resources to, because it is a excellent demonstration of how to be able to not just better address mental health in our communities, but also improve police departments, Brian.
Because
the police don't have to worry about these 250 calls, they can handle all of the different aspects of their job, like you said. They can go out into the calls that they are meant for and respond to. And the fact that anybody on the right wants to lump this in as part of the, oh, well, defund the police is making everything less safe, and not actually appreciating the nuances there are in having these communications and conversations about how municipal governments should be responding to individuals in the community that are facing crises is huge. And so I hope that Madison can continue to be an example for other cities, not only here in Wisconsin, but around the country as well.
Yeah, because again, people that are not necessarily bad folks, they just have an episode of some sort, locking them up and or jailing them does nothing to help them and actually continues the cycle of making it worse, you know, and continues the problem and continues to drain resources, putting these people in the wrong hands. And again, I want our police officers to be safe. I want them to be in a situation where they can go into and know the stakes and be in a world where they can make a difference and not necessarily, you know, again, be the wrong tool for the job. And this, and I say this for anybody. I wouldn't think that anybody here should respond to anybody, even if you know them, that's having an episode. You never know. I mean, unless you're trained in that or you've been with this person during other episodes before, it's hard to go and get involved, especially when people go into a fight or flight situation. This is why a CARES team is, you know, something that's very important. And I want to point out again, the process here, the idea, I would say, is a little bit liberal. I would say it's very liberal. But...
Is it that liberal compared
to what we've been doing?
Yes, I guess. Okay.
It's liberal. But the rollout itself is conservative, I would say.
Yeah, sampling it in a smaller section of the city and then...
And then rolling it out when it works, that type of thing. And going with what works and moving on. But that's how government is supposed to work. I'm not saying that this is how the balance works out every single time. But I guess what I'm saying is that it's possible... to come up with common sense stuff that doesn't destroy a police department, doesn't go to one extreme or the other, and perhaps improves things for all parties involved. I like it when government works. I'm glad we're highlighting this.
Yeah. No, I was, when I saw this story this morning, I was thrilled, and I had to share it with you here on Dueling Tangents. Folks, if you want to join the conversation, share your tangent with us, you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. We got our friend Mark from the SAC calling in now. Mark, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, it's good to hear this conversation that, you know, that putting the professionals that can handle these kind of situations, you know, that they're at the front lines rather than forcing our police officers into these situations. You know, it's sad that we've drifted away from, you know, that there's been times when I've seen old episodes of Adam 12 and all this where the police officers, you know, were actually, you know, walking the community and knew a lot of the people in the community and were able to, you know, actually be, you know, community police officers, maybe knew some of these situations. But even then, they knew that there's some of these situations that it was not, you know, that a firearm wasn't required. And now that it seems like, you know, that... it's like the old hammer and nail argument that you know, the police officers today are equipped with all sorts of firearms. I mean, they've got you know, that military style equipment now, and that's what they apply to nearly every situation now, it seems. And that this may be a way to, you know, to alleviate some needless deaths and other problems if we put, you know, some healthcare professionals out there and evaluating these situations before the police officers actually have to show up.
Yeah, my grandpa was a motorcycle cop and a detective in the Nassau County Police Department in outside of Long Island, right outside of New York City. And he had drawn his weapon to the tent to fire one time, never fired on duty. And that's not necessarily the greatest area, right, and very populous, so a lot of things go down. But that's also back in the day when you could take someone behind a 7-Eleven, smack them around for doing something wrong, and that was all okay, too. So, I don't know, man. It's we got to find a better way, and I think we are.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way you can't be okay with the status quo, because we've been seeing for years now that we need to see improvements. I'm really glad to see this one that the city of Madison has tested out is being expanded because it's working. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your calls. 844-967-2789.